Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to join you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you tuned me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. I welcome you. Others tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Those of you that tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock, I welcome you as well. Also, I want to those of you that's joined me from my website is PastorKenHarger.com. If you want to listen to the message, first of all, if it's a time that's on the station, you may just click on Messages from the Lighthouse, and it takes you to the various stations that carry my broadcast. If it's not the time of the station, you just hover over with your mouse on Messages from the Lighthouse. It'll show up recent media broadcast, and then you can click on that and you will get the message that's there for this morning. There's also some past messages that you can listen to if you want to. That's just up to you, but just that's one of the ways to get a hold of the message as well. I need to take just a few moments and thank the sponsors who take care of the financial cost involved in the broadcast. So a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area. And also a big thank you to Bell and Judy Hammond from the Belding area, to Gloria Spencer from Orleans in memory not of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and also to Gay London in memory not of her husband Dave, and she's from Greenville, and Marie Rivard in memory of honor of her husband Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. Well, we just appreciate those that help us with the financial part of the broadcast, and I appreciate that so much, and that's what's been able to allow me to keep coming to you. I'm coming to you actually from my home this morning because there's so much snow down to the lighthouse, and it's so cold to get out there and work on that, so I'm just going to let Mother Nature take care of that, and hopefully next week I'll be coming to you from the lighthouse. Now today I'm coming to you from my dining room in our home, and I just count it a privilege to be able to share with you. Bev and I came home to some pretty cold weather after spending the month of February in Florida, but we missed a whole lot of difficult things that you folks went through here, and we really kept you in our prayers, and that was something that was really very hard winter for you folks here, and they're still not giving up yet. It's just hanging on. Maybe it'll be soon enough that sooner or later it will give way to spring. And at least this morning, as I sat here at the dining room table, the sun is up and it is shining and it is bright. It's a Wednesday morning that I'm putting together the service for today. And our message for today is little is much in the hands of God. I've addressed this different times in my years of ministry, but I want to address it this morning with each one of you. So I thank you for joining. And as we get ready to listen to the broadcast, got a song I want us to listen to. And this song is reminding us that Jesus will lift you up. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, about Jesus being the lifter of my head. But he's reminding us that he will be the one that lifts us up. And so we'll get this song going, and then we'll come right back to you and share the message that God's laid on my heart for this morning. I'm looking forward to his blessing. Well, we're going to start out with a bang. Here we go.
If you believe God's word, sometimes we must be stirred. When we grow weary, when we're mired in doubt, we need a revival to lift us out. And Jesus can lift you up. Jesus can lift you up. When you're camped in the valley and you've had enough, Jesus can lift you up. When everything's going wrong, he won't let you stay down long. When you're going under life's sinking sand, reach up and take hold of that nail-scarred hand. And Jesus can lift you up.
Jesus can lift you up. When you're camped in the valley and you've had enough, Jesus can lift you up. He'll lift you up.
Jesus, Lord.
When you're in the valley,
you lift you up.
When times are tough,
Jesus, Lord.
When you're tired and weary,
he'll lift you up.
Jesus can lift you. He'll lift you up.
When times are tough,
I said he'll lift you. He'll lift you up. I'm gonna hold to the Savior's hand till I stand with the angel band in the promised land.
He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up.
Gonna get ready, not gonna wait. Gonna keep walking straight to the pearly gates. Here we go.
He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up.
He'll lift you up.
He'll lift you up.
Jesus can lift you up. When you're camped in the valley and you've had enough, Jesus can lift you up.
Jesus can lift you.
Jesus can lift you. Jesus can lift you.
Jesus can lift you up, folks, and that's just good for us to know, and that's a good way for us to get started. The song's a little louder than I like to use the first thing in the morning, but Jesus can lift you up, and he's able to do that for each and every one of us. And so we'll go to him in a word of prayer and just ask the Lord to bless our listening audience this morning. Dear Father, as we come into your presence this morning, what a privilege it is to share your word. What a privilege it is that I've had all these years on the radio broadcast time to share the messages that you've put into my heart and life that's been a part of me. And this morning we're going to be talking about little as much in your hands, Father. And you demonstrated that through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so many different times as he walked on planet Earth. And we're going to study that, and we just want to learn from that the care and the love and the concern that you give to each and every one of us. As we go through the difficult times, as the songwriter said, as we go through the valley times, that's when we can trust in you that you're going to bring about the results that you want. So right now, Father, I'd like to pray for the listening audience. Thank you for everyone that has tuned me in. Whatever they've gone through this past week, I just ask your special hand of blessing and comfort and encouragement to be theirs today. Some just found out they have cancer this week, and I had a report of that and from our family, and we just realized that that's very true, and that's what people go through. Others lost a loved one, Father, and we just know that's a painful experience, and they're in the grieving process of the loss of their loved one, and we just ask your hand of blessing to be upon them. Some's in a nursing home. Some's been in the hospital. Others are going through some family difficulty, and others have had just so many good blessings this week, because that's the way that it is, and we just appreciate that so much. So I ask your special blessing to be upon each one of the listening audience, whatever their need is. Dear Jesus, as you're so good about doing, would you meet them at the point of their need and give them what they need in order to move forward and to have the presence of yourself with them? Would you be pleased to take this message and honor yourself with it and bring glory to your own name? I want to pray for those that's driving in their car right now. They're headed to church this morning, and I ask your special blessing to be upon them. And they've tuned me in for whatever time they have in their drive, and we just ask your blessing to be upon them and bless their church and bless the ministry in their church today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Meet our every need now, I pray, in that wonderful name of Jesus. For his sake, amen. What a privilege it is to share when you've got so much that you can share about. You know, I've been talking about God and the things of God for over 60 years now. And I'm always surprised the blessings that God gives when you reflect upon some of the little things of life. And that's what I'll be doing this morning in our message. We'll be looking at some things that give us a little different picture of the Lord Jesus Christ when we're thinking of little is much in the hands of God. You know, the word hands of God is mentioned in the Bible about 122 times. Most of these passages that talk about the hands of God involved in the creation of the world. The heavens declare the glory of God, he tells us. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day poured forth speech. Night after night they display his knowledge. There is no speech or no language where his voice is not heard. The voice goes out unto all the earth. These words to the ends of the world. That's from Psalm number 19. God's saying, you know what? The creation is my message to the human race. It's reminding you that it just didn't happen as a Big Bang Theory, so to speak, but God created, and it displays his handiwork. And it says it's the work of his hands. And then I love the idea that he reminds us in his word that he created all this for his own enjoyment. So when you and I enjoy the creation of the world, we enjoy the same things that God is enjoying. Now, I'm not sure if God's enjoying this cold weather for the month of March or not, because we're already to the 10th of March, and we've had one of the coldest times in a long time. But that's what is written for us to understand, that in God's creation, there's going to be the promise of things such as hope and spring and those kinds of things. The last words Jesus spoke from the cross, according to Luke, was taken from Psalm 31, verse 5. Then Jesus cried with a loud voice and said, Father, into your hands, think of the hands of God, Father, into your hands I've commend my spirit. You know, that's something that's pretty special. And after he said that, he took his last breath on planet Earth. In the book of Luke 23:46, it says the fact that Psalm 31 contains the last words of Jesus. I want to think about something else that that psalm teaches us, and that's in verse 15. My times are in your hands. I don't know how many times in the ministry I've had to share with somebody, well, it's in the hands of God, folks. Sometimes we have to turn it over to the hands of God. We have to trust him. We have to believe that he knows what is best. And you know what I think would be good for us to do? The same thing the Lord Jesus did when God tells us that our times are in his hands. I think we need to say, Father, into your hands I commend my life. I turn it over to you. I turn it over to the hands of God. You know, folks, under this listening audience today, there's some of those of you that have tried for so many years to try to have an answer to something in your life. And you've tried every way that you know. And I'm not saying as last resort. I'm saying this is probably the bottom line, is that you and I, sometimes we just have to say, I'm going to turn it over to the hands of God. Now, little is much in the hands of God. God's able to do what you and I are able to do. One of my favorite verses is found in Isaiah 49:16, where God tells the nation of Israel, he said, see, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. Even though your walls are ever before me, the city's ever before me. The word engraved has behind it the idea that God had carved the nation of Israel's name into his hand. God was their God, and he wanted them to know that. When I think about this and my relationship with the Lord Jesus and your relationship with the Lord Jesus, I think what he's also reminding us that Jesus carved our names in his hand. You know, when he did that is when he went to the cross. When they drove those spikes into his hands, that's where he carried the sins of myself and the sins of you upon that cross. And I got to tell you, you were in his hands at that time, and we need to know that. I think that's so special. I believe that's where God engraved my name into his hands, is when he died upon that cross. But remember, the different nail prints in Jesus' hand made his heart and mind so much, reached into the heart and mind of one called Thomas in days gone by. I just love these different things about the hands of God. You know, the disciples had a hard time trying to figure out what Jesus was really up to because they thought he came to establish his kingdom on planet Earth. And Jesus didn't do that. And Jesus is telling them, I'm going to die. And he even tells us one of the places of the Old Testament says, where did you get those scars in your hands? And Jesus, the answer from Jesus would be, that's where I was wounded amongst my friends. The religious people that he came to reach out to as he came to reach to you and me, they took and had him crucified. And he died and he was buried and he rose again. And one day after Jesus' resurrection, there was a meeting of the disciples and Thomas wasn't there. And you know, when they told Thomas, Jesus came today. Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see those nail scars in his hand. And I put my finger into those nail scars, and I put my hand into his side where he was wounded at the cross. And about a week later, the Lord Jesus came, and this time Thomas was in the room. And the Lord Jesus came, even though the doors was closed, and he stood in their midst. And all of a sudden he said these beautiful words, peace be to you, peace be to you. I'm sure about that time Thomas is pretty unpeaceful. I'm thinking at that time probably Thomas is pretty nervous. And Thomas, the Lord said to Thomas, Thomas, put your finger here and see my hand. And put out your hand and place it into my side. And Thomas, do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, have you believed because you have seen me? Have you believed, in other words, because you have seen these nail scars in my hands? I got to tell you, Thomas, blessed are those in the future, which includes you and I, that do not get to see the hands guard hands of Jesus, and yet they believe. They believe that what he said he came to do, he accomplished when he died upon that cross. That gets us involved now into the hands of God. I've got some other lessons I want us to learn from these hands of God, but just knowing that the hands of God, these are the kind of hands that we're going to put these things when I say, turn it over to the hands of God. It's like turn it over to the hand-scarred nail prints of Jesus Christ himself. Little is much in the hands of God. One day Jesus and the disciples were out in a very desolate place. And Jesus was reaching out to hurting people because he really cared for their spiritual needs. And what we're going to learn this morning, he also cared for their physical needs. So I want us this morning in our minds and heart to join Jesus as he's walking along the Sea of Galilee. It's recorded for us in the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 29 through 33. Jesus went on from there and he walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountainside and sat down. And a great crowd of people came to him, bringing to them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So that crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the cripple healthy, the lame walking, the blind seeing. And they glorified God, the God of Israel. They just were so grateful and thankful for what God had done. Then Jesus called his disciples, and he said to them, I have compassion on this crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days. Jesus was there teaching 3 days, and they have nothing to eat. I have compassion for them. And the disciples said to him, Lord, we're in a very desolate place. Where would we buy food enough just to give them a little bit? This is a great big crowd. I love that story. Jesus healed the two different times he took the small things in his hand and he blessed. One time he fed over 4,000. That was 4,000 men besides the women and children. Another time he fed over 5,000 besides the women and the children. Jesus had been sitting on the side of the mountain for 3 days, healing people of all kinds of hurting diseases, teaching them things they needed to know. It was time for the people to go, and it was time for Jesus to move on to another place of ministry. But we see the word, he had compassion in his heart. That's the word that describes the Lord Jesus the best of any word I can think. He was a man of compassion. And he said, I don't want these people to just have their spiritual needs. I want their physical needs to be met as well. I need to provide some food for their physical needs before they start home. And you know, the disciples responded saying, where are we going to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed such a great big crowd as this? Now remember, first we are in a place with the Sea of Galilee in front of us and a mountainside behind us, and there's no fast food places there anywhere. And you know, the people have been with him for 3 days. It's a huge crowd of maybe 5,000-6,000 people, 4,000 men besides the women and children. We need to add to that the words of Jesus to his disciples. These people have been listening to me for 3 days. And Jesus is saying, I'm unwilling to send them home without something to eat. Have you ever been in such a desolate place in your life? Often referred to as being between a rock and a hard place. That's where they were at this point in time, as far as the disciples were concerned. Between a rock and a hard place. And by example, Jesus is going to teach in this experience, in this desolate place. He's going to teach those people, and he teaches me as well, that God has promised, he's given to each one of us, that he will care for us. He'll make it to be something that is special in our individual life. I say it again, little is much in the hands of God. What little was that? We need to talk about that for just a few moments, as what that was going to go. What could they find as far as food? How's Jesus going to meet this need? And here they are in this desolate place, and Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. Most of the time, that wasn't 7 loaves of bread, but they often referred to as a little biscuit, 7 little biscuits they had, and a few small fish. I love the way that says that, a few small fish. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowd. And they all ate. And listen to this. They were all satisfied. You know, I've always said, and I believe it with all my heart, there's no better time. The most enjoyable time I've had is feeding hungry people. You know what? Sometimes we get to be picky eaters. And it's not sometimes only over food. We get to be picky eaters about the things in our life. We get to be picky eaters about the spiritual food God wants to provide for our life. And it says they were satisfied. And listen to this. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were about 4,000 men besides the women and the children. And then Jesus felt good and he sent the crowd away. He got into his boat and he went on the other side of the water to begin his ministry over there. That's recorded in the book of Matthew chapter 15. You know, folks, I love watching Jesus take charge. You know what I say about putting things into the hands of God? When Jesus takes charge, you know it's going to work out well. Follow with me in this for just a moment. First, he asked, how many loaves do we have? What do we have? What do we got to start with? They said 7 loaves and a few small fish. So little to feed so many in such a desolate place. But remember, little is much in the hands of God. Little is much in the hands of Jesus. So let's watch Jesus as he continues to take over. Second, he organized the crowd to get ready to be fed. Divided them into little groups. Disciples were working with him on that, I'm sure. Directing the crowd to sit down on the ground. And after he had them in little groups sitting down on the ground, third, he had a moment of prayer. I love it that he took the 7 loaves and the 2 fish and he gave thanks to God. He thanked his Father. You know, we need to learn from that. That's a very small amount of food to feed between 5 and 6,000 people. And Jesus is including his Father. He prayed to the Father. He's asking God to bless this little to help meet the needs of so many. So he prayed. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish and he had broken them into pieces. And he gave each of the disciples some pieces. And the disciples took the pieces that was given to them. And they became waiters out there in that picnic ground on the mountainside by the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples passed it among all the crowd. And everybody had plenty to eat. I love the end results in this desolate place. And they all ate and were satisfied. But more than that, there were 7 baskets left over. Remember what we started with? 7 little biscuits. Even if there were 7 loaves, now there's 7 baskets left over. That is so special. Little is much, for sure, in the hands of God. Think about it. I don't know who gave that, where those 7 loaves came from. And feeding of the 5,000, he told us a little boy had a lunch, and he took the little boy's lunch, and he fed everybody. But you know something we need to think about? I love the promise of God when he talks about being willing to give. One day Jesus was speaking his Sermon on the Mount. You know, the reason sometimes Jesus was by the water or by mountains is because they were natural amplifiers. His voice could be heard. Because of the mountain, his voice could be heard because of the water. I've been in my lighthouse before and have some people out fishing in front of the lighthouse, maybe 300-400 yards out, and you can hear them talk about what they're talking about. I never just sat there and listened, but, you know, I remember one time I heard him say, thinking about the lighthouse, I heard him say, you know, they told me to go out about a couple hundred yards from the lighthouse. So I said, man, it became a landmark for fishing. And that made me feel pretty good. But listen to what Jesus says about giving. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. It'll be pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. It'll be running over and poured into your laps. The amount you give will determine the amount you'll get back. That's Jesus speaking in his Sermon on the Mount in the book of Luke chapter 6. He's reminding us it's so good to give. And he's reminding us that we should be willing to give. Because little can be much in the hands of God. You might say to me this morning, Pastor, I have so little to give. I just don't think that I have enough that I could even be able to give too much of anything. But God is saying, little is much in my hands. Just give to the hands of God. Let's listen in.
In the harvest fields now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the Master's voice is calling, to the harvest calling you. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little? in hell. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. If you go in Jesus' name.
I love that idea. Little is much when God is in it. And we need to know that. We need to believe that this morning, that each one of us can do whatever we can do for Him. And it's never too little. We just seen Jesus feed 6,000 people about with 7 little loaves and a few small fishes. God's good. God can do that. God can take the little from your life and the little from my life and turn it into much. That's just the way He is. That's the desire He has to bring about out of your life and out of my life. And I believe there's a lesson in that story for us. I believe the lesson is something that we need to get a hold of. Just as Jesus met the needs of those people in that day, He fed that crowd of people with so little. I want us to think today of the same ways that Jesus shows His same concern for each one of us. When He says about, as what He did about the disciples, what He's saying to you this morning, I'm not willing to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way, Jesus said. And I think God is saying to me today, and God is saying to you today, I'm unwilling to send them away hungry. Yes, they faint on the way. Whatever it is that you're going through your life this morning, your life is going through, I want to challenge you. Jesus is not willing to let you face that all by yourself. He wants to help you. That's why I use that term, put it into the hands of God. He's ready and willing to be assistant to us. Just as Jesus was not willing to send away those people to face life in the times of their need, lest they would faint along the way. The same thing is true to you and I. I like what is shared with us when David was going through some very difficult times. The difficulty was in his family. His son was against him. You see, David was king, but son Absalom wanted to be king. He's having difficulty in his king leadership business. People were saying that God would not deliver David. They were saying that God gave up on David. You know, it just seems like David is going through the most difficult time that he ever has. And then this is a little thing found in Psalm 3, 1 through 6. David's going to reveal to us what he's going through. Lord, now they have increased who trouble me. It seems like I'm getting it from every side is what he's saying. Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, you are my shield for me. You're shielding me from all of this. You're my glory. You is what I hang on to. And you're the one who lifts up my head. There's the thought I want us to get a hold of. You are the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with a voice, and he heard me, just like Jesus did, from his holy hell. God heard my prayer, Selah. And you know what I did? I lay down and I slept. And I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Amongst all that difficulty in his life, when he thought of the Lord being his shield, and when he thought of the Lord being his glory, he says, you know what? He's the lifter of my head. It's like he's saying, I turned it over to the hands of God. I put myself into the hands of God. And you know what I did? I lay down and slept. And I slept all night and I woke up. The Lord had sustained me. We're all going to go through difficult times in our life. It's not if there'll be difficult times. It's when there'll be difficult times. It's easy when we go through a very difficult time to focus on the difficult things we're going through. And I don't know about you, but this is what I've experienced in my life. It causes us to be downcast, discouraged. And then our body language begins to show itself. And as we walk around, we kind of have our head hanging down. We're discouraged. We're disappointed, whatever it might be. I love it that David first thought about God as his shield and thought about God as his protector, and that God was the glory of his life, that God was the reason he was living. Then David gave us this beautiful word picture of God being the lifter of his head. God is just lifting up his head. That's pretty special. When you think of the God of the universe, who tells us that he created this world by his hands. And we just watched his son, the Lord Jesus, feed about 6,000 people from the hands of Jesus, went 7 little barley loaves and some small fish. It's good to put it in the hands of God. And that's what David is saying. He's saying, God, you're the lifter of my head. It's just like God put his hands underneath the chin of David and said, David, look up. And the eyes of God and the eyes of David caught each other in eyesight. I think that's what God is saying to you and I. That when we're so discouraged and we're so defeated, and some of you may be that way this morning, that there's a God who says, I love you so much, I care about you so much, I'm not going to let you handle that all by yourself. And he just wants to take us by the chin and lift up our head to look upon him. I think that's so good. If you think of God as taking his hand and lifting your head and making eye contact with you, all of a sudden, what happened in David's life can happen in your life. David had confidence. And David did what he said, I cried to the Lord. He prayed out to him, and God heard my voice. He heard me from the heaven, the holy hail. Selah. That word Selah is used a lot in the book of Psalms. There's different ideas of what the word means. It's something like it's a musical type of note or something for a pause. But I've always heard this and I've always liked it. It said that Selah means stop and listen. So I'm saying to you this morning, stop and listen to what happened to David. He was having such a difficult time, but he remembered God's protection. And he remembered that God was his reason for living. And then all of a sudden he said, God is the lifter of my head. That's what God says to me today. And that's what God is saying to you today. He wants to be the lifter of your head in your times of discouragement. Stop and listen. So I say to you, stop and listen to what David was able to do when he turned it over to the hands of God. That's what I need to do. There's seen things in my life that I need to totally turn over to the hands of God. You know what, folks? This isn't something that just happens at a certain age in your life and all of a sudden you've just automatically done it. All through our growing up years and my earlier years of life and raising the family and all the different things, there was many times we just had to turn things over to the hand of God. I turned 84 when I was in Florida. And you know, there's sometimes just things at 84, you can't do anything else but just turn it over to the hands of God. When things happen in your family, we need to turn it over to the hands of God. That's where we can gain our confidence. But more than that, that's where comes the idea of the peace that he's able to give, because it's in his hands. David says, I lay down and slept, and I woke up in the morning, and it looked different to me when I woke up in the morning. The Lord sustained me. He was watching over me the whole time. So this is the bottom line I give to you. Whatever difficulty you're faced with today, what you're going through, let God be the lifter of your head. And I can guarantee you from what I've learned and from what I've promises in God's word and what I see happen in David's life, God's going to sustain you. He will sustain you with the strength that you need to go through whatever it is this morning that you're going through. There's a couple other pictures that I like that the Lord Jesus is painted of as being the lifter of our head. You know, I think the idea of going through difficulty is always hard for us because we want it to be a pain-free community. We want our life to be pain-free. Isn't that true? You know, if at all possible, we do anything we can to avoid pain. And yet pain is a part of life. When you turn 84, you have pains that you never had before. They come gradual, but all of a sudden it seems like you're facing it. It's like waking up in the morning, now I got a new pain that I never had before. And then when you do something that you haven't been used to doing, and just a little bit the older you get, you find out that it's caused a lot of difficulty for you. You know, the early years driving down to Destin, Florida, that's about 1,000 miles, man, we handled that so easy. We could make that in a day and a half. Now we take 3 days to come home from Destin, Florida. We both had knee surgeries, and so we have replacement of knees, and so you need to stop and get out of the vehicle every now and then. But you know what I find out after about 1.5 or 2 hours sitting in the car seat? It's time to get out. You're hurting there sitting in the car seat. But then when you try to get out, you think, my legs have gotten stiff that 1.5, 2 hours. That's why we realize pain is a part of life. Now, the only pain that I believe you could avoid is the pain of discipline by being as obedient as quickly as possible. But God tells us in his word, in the book of Hebrews, he speaks of discipline. And you know, the lifter of your head wants to teach you that when you're going wrong and something is not the way it should be in your life, Jesus is not willing just to let you go on in that pain. He tells us, I'm going to discipline you. And he reminds us that was true in our growing up years. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 12. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. Now, maybe you didn't respect them at the time. Maybe when he was getting a spanking, you didn't say, oh, good, Dad, I needed that, you know. Maybe you didn't say that. I don't think I ever said that in any discipline. But how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? He's saying, you know what? You got to understand that our Heavenly Father is going to discipline his children if they're doing wrong and need discipline. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. And sometimes it wasn't even as they thought best. It was they wanted us to get beyond that quickly or whatever, you know. Our fathers discipline for us a little while, but God disciplines us for our good. I got to tell you the difference between parental discipline and God's discipline. Parental discipline sometimes is penal. It's punishments for some wrong you've done, something you said you shouldn't have said, something you did that you shouldn't have did. And God is saying that discipline is supposed to correct you. You don't like the outcome of the discipline, so then that stops you from doing that. It's like, don't touch the hot stove. If you touch it enough times, you'll quit because you don't like the pain that comes with that. Think twice unless you're going to be disciplined by your parent for something you've said or done that is wrong. But God says, you know what? The discipline I give to you is not penal. It's not punishment for the wrong you've done. It's to teach you to do good for our good, that we may share his holiness. God wants us to understand that this discipline that he wants to give us and needs to give us when we're going down the wrong path is because he loves us so much that he can't allow us to go down the wrong path. So if you've got some things in your life this morning that is things of disobedience that you know God wants you to do and you haven't done it, you're bringing hurt and harm to your individual life. But more than that, you're bringing disappointment to Jesus because he wants you to put that over into his hands. He wants to have you let him give you a little spanking to correct you and to help you. Now listen to what it goes on to say. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. He's saying, when you let this discipline do its work in your life, he said, it's going to be beneficial to you. When you keep wanting to walk in disobedience rather than obedience, then he said, this is going to be a strength to you. Now, I want to show you a beautiful time. Remember, we've just been talking about the fact that God is the lifter of our head, that he wants to take and put his hand under our chin and lift our eyes up to him and saying, I've got this. I'll take care of this. He wants to sustain us. But listen to what he says during the time of discipline. When you're going through discipline, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. He's saying, you're going through this because it's trying to correct you. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy without holiness. No one shall see the Lord. You know what he's saying to us? I want you to be what I want you to be, because I know that's the best way for you. I've liked this statement for a long time. You never know that Jesus Christ is all you need until Jesus Christ is all you have. Let you know, he's the lifter of your head. And if you're walking down a path that's displeasing to him, he lets you know, I need to discipline you. But the discipline that the Lord's going to give to you, and if he's doing that to you today, is a discipline to bring you back to a place of obedience. Because that's going to be the best place for you to live. That's going to be the best place for you to find a happiness that God wants you to have in your individual life. Got one more little closing thought. You know what really it takes? It takes the realization that we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. You know, so many times us humans want to exalt ourselves. And God says to us, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. That's what we're talking about this morning. This beautiful power of God, not only to lift your head, but to lift your entire being before him. He wants you to realize that he doesn't want you to go through life struggling with disobedience. He wants you to humble yourself before God and do as Jesus did. Pray to the Father to bless these 7 loaves and these small fish. Or what David did when he said, I cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard my cry. And he responded to my cry. He's the lifter of my head. Listen to this from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due season. I got to tell you, the hand of God, little is much in the hands of God. But listen to what he's saying here. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. We need to be humble before him. Life and events seem so difficult, but we need to humble ourselves. These experiences and humbleness of our life is going to cause our life to move forward. I think that's the thing that God is asking us to do this morning. He's reminding us that we need to humble ourselves before him. It may be that in reason we're going through such difficulty in our life is because we've exalted ourselves before him. And we think we're bigger than we are. We think we're more important than we are. We think, I don't need God. But I got to tell you, folks, I got to tell you, the greatest exaltation there could ever be will be to hear Jesus say, one day because of your ministry for him, because of what you've done for him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God is reminding us, this thing about life is a life that we're trying to reach out and help the lives of other people. Come to that knowledge that they need to come to, of trusting him and what he has for us to do. I'm going to have this idea of this song, Humble Yourselves Before the Mighty Hand of God. Just humble yourselves before him. It's just going to be repeated over and over again. Just trying to get into my heart and into your heart, into our minds, that we need to humble ourselves before him. Listen to it repeated many times over.
Self.